wants to say to us. And there's a lot that can be learned here in 1 Samuel. And we're talking about David and Jonathan. That's where it starts out. And so let's pray and then we'll get started tonight. God, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We pray that you will bless tonight. You will help us, God. Lord, the message that you have for us tonight, that we will listen attentively unto it, oh God. And we'll see where we can apply it in our own lives. And we'll learn from it. We'll be able to help others. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And so David, in chapter 20, he was going through a great struggle in his life. He was going through a hard time in his life. Anybody ever gone through hard times? And I'm sure we could all put our hands up. We have. And he was going through a perplexing time, and he didn't know quite what was going to happen. And he knew he was already anointed to be king, and he knew he was going to be the next king. But the king that was sitting on the throne was after him, and he didn't like him. And then at the end of chapter 20 is where the allegiance was made between David and Jonathan, that they would be friends forever. And that last verse ends, and Jonathan said to David, this is chapter 20, verse 42 of 1 Samuel, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." So Jonathan went back into the city, but David was between a rock and a hard place, because Saul, something snapped in him. Now he was really determined that he was going to come after David, and for no other purpose than to kill him, literally shed his blood and take his life, because this young man had no business being king. He's not in the lineage. He's not in my family. And I'm after him. And David was really up against it. And so when he made this allegiance and this oath that he did, they swore to each other that they would be faithful to each other. So Jonathan went back into the city because he knew that's what he knew to do. He went into that city and it was a refuge for him. Now David was in a place at a time in his life where he didn't have any place that he could go for refuge. It was dark and it was bleak and he wasn't sure what he was going to do. But if you start in chapter 21 and verse 1, David did what we should do whenever we're in those situations that we don't know what to do. You've come to the end of the line. You've done all that you knew to do. And you're up against it. And you've taken the counsel of the preacher. And you've listened to others and the advice. And it's just like, I'm not sure what I would do. So what did David do? He came to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" So he went into the priest. He went into the place where people went to worship God. So in other words, he went into that place that we would call the church house. He went down to the church house to find direction from God. David was alone. He didn't know what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to be the next king, and God said it, and he believed it. He knew what was going to happen, but at this point in his life, it didn't look like it was even going to be possible, that it was even going to come to pass. And God may have spoken things to you in times past, and you know that there's something that God wants you to do. You have a special purpose, a special reason in your life. But you're in a place now in your life and you're looking like it's never going to happen. It's never going to be. And you could just throw your hands up and quit. David could have returned to the city with Jonathan. Jonathan could have tried to hide him. But David didn't do that. He went to the place where they worship God. He went to the priest. He went there seeking help. Amen. And in our time of need, that's what we need to do. We need to go to God in our time of need. Seek the help from him. But when he got to the house, the priest knew what was going on. He knew that Saul was after him. And he felt uncomfortable with him being around there. And he didn't know if he should help him or not. He wanted to know what purpose that he was there for. And David said in the second verse, "The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." And so the conversation went on, and what David was doing is he was searching for for purpose in his life. He was searching for reason. He knew what God wanted him to do, but he didn't know what the next step was going to be. And you perhaps have found yourself in a situation like that in life. You know ultimately what God wants, but where you are right now tonight, right now where you are today in your life, you don't know what your next step should be, because it's very critical that you step in the right direction if the will of God is going to be completed. And so David was there, and he didn't have any weapons with him. And you can read the verses in between. And then David said unto Ahimelech in verse 8, And is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? Because David fled. He didn't even have any weapons with him. He had no way to defend himself naturally. He had the name of the Lord God of Israel on his side with him. But naturally, he was a man of war. He didn't have anything there to defend him. And he said, I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. David had to get out of that situation he was in a hurry. He didn't even take any weapons with him. And the priest said, the priest got to thinking, why would David go down to the house of God and he would ask them, do you have a sword or a spear here? Spear, that would be the last place that you would probably find something like that. But the priest said in the 9th verse, he said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, for there is no other save that here. The only thing I have is that sword that you used to take Goliath's head off with. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. And so there was starting to be a little ray of hope, a little ray of sunshine, a little ray of maybe I'm going to be able to get out of this situation showing up in David's life. And so here he is, he's still all alone. There's nobody else standing with him. His family's not with him. There's no friends. There's nobody with him. He just left his best friend. And now he's reunited with his sword that he used so many years before to take off Goliath's head. So there started to be some thought within him, well, maybe this is going to work out. But it still wasn't complete in him. A man being by himself and the king and his army being after him, and all that you have is a sword. Yeah, great things were done with this sword in the past, but that's all that you have in your hand. And David was in a dreadful time in his life, a very uncertain time. And so, and then verse 10, and so then David arose and he fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. He fled that day for fear of Saul. He was fearful of what Saul was going to do to him. This is the same David that some years before slew that giant. This is the same one that did that. And here he is, and he's afraid of Saul. He was full of fear. The fear of Saul was on him. He wasn't afraid to stand up against Goliath, a man that was perhaps close to 9 feet tall, and all of Israel was afraid of him. And David, there was something that come over him, the Spirit of God come on him, and he went up against that Goliath and slew him. But now here he is, running from the king, this same king that he defended earlier when he killed Goliath. Amen. But the difference was, back in that day, David was looking to God, and he knew that God was going to answer him, and he knew it was God that they were striking out against. Now circumstances in his life had changed a little bit, and he wasn't thinking that God's on my side. He wasn't thinking, we have this today. He didn't have a Bible like we do, so it wasn't anywhere where he could read it. He wasn't thinking, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He wasn't thinking, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. He wasn't thinking like he thought about Goliath. He wasn't thinking, Saul, you come to me. You're coming against me, but you're not coming against me. You're coming against the Lord God of Israel. That's who you're coming against, you uncircumcised person. I am not going to bow down to you. He wasn't thinking that way anymore. And so there's times in your life when you can be on a mountaintop and you can do exploits for the Lord. And perhaps that has happened in your life at one time or another, and then you find yourself down in a deep valley, and you begin to wonder, even in the existence of God, is God even hearing me? Does God even care? And David was in that situation. He fled for fear of Saul. Then we move down through there, and they begin to talk to him, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of the land? And they Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was very afraid. He was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And when he laid those words up in his heart, as he took those words to heart, what those people were saying, and it scared him. He thought he was very fearful of Saul, and now he was afraid of the king of Gath. And it was like one was against him, now there's another one against him. And so David did something. He went to the extent of even trying to disguise who he was, because the people recognized him. Isn't this the David that killed Goliath? Isn't this the David that they sung about, that Saul has killed his thousands, and this David has killed his 10,000? Isn't this the man? And so David did something very strange here. He changed his behavior before them. Oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to change our behavior before the enemy and pretend to be somebody that we're not to be. Oh, Peter changed his behavior before the crowd, and he pretended to be somebody that he wasn't. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now here David is down in such a dark valley that he changed his behavior. He did that because he was fearing for his own life. This is going to be my only way out of here. Saul's after me. Now this king's going to come after me. Nobody's going to want me around. And he changed his behavior in such a way that he finched himself. And that is to say, he became mad. He acted like a mad person, mad in their hands. And he scrabbled at the doors of the gate. He acted like a madman. And he was scratching at the doors of the gate. He let spittle fall down upon his beard. He let spit just roll out of his mouth. He acted like somebody that was a crazy person. Somebody that was nobody that they had to be concerned about. This man's just a loon. He's just a crazy one. He was really taken back, and he was feeling all alone. And then the king said unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. This is a madman here. This man's an insane person. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? What are you bringing this crazy man to me for? I can't do anything with him. Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And David, by doing this, really, it appears, he saved his life. And so here he is. He left Jonathan. He went to the priest. He got Goliath's sword, and he was happy. Remember, up at the end, David said in verse 9, he said, there is none like that. Give that sword to me. Give that sword to me. There's no God like my God. Give me my God. He'll help me in time of need. But even as David was going through this, that sword that he slew Goliath with, it wasn't doing anything to help him. He wasn't encouraged in the Lord. He was at rock bottom, and it was getting worse. And then David fled from there. Then he went to Adullam. In verse 22, he escaped to the cave of Adullam, where his brethren and all his father's house heard it. They came down hither to him. He went down and he hid himself in a cave. He was at rock bottom. He didn't know to turn. He couldn't turn to the right. He couldn't turn to the left. There was nobody. He was all alone, and he felt forsaken. And everyone that, and then it says, let me go down. They came down thither to him. And here's the kind of people that came to him. And everyone that was in distress. It sounds like David was in distress. And everyone that was in debt, David was probably in debt. And everyone that was discontented, and that discontentment there means that they were bitter of soul. You can't tell me that David at that point in his life wasn't becoming bitter a little bit in his soul and wondering, where's this God that's going to help me? He said, I'm going to be king. Where's Samuel at now? I'm feeling all alone. And they gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And I would like to say and think that these 400 men that came unto him were about in the same position in life that he was in. And it looked like they weren't going to be able to do anything. It was just a bunch of misfits, we'll say. Those that were in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. How would you like to have a bunch of friends like that? They say birds of feather flock together. And so David was basically in that condition himself. And then he found these men around him, surrounded him, and they were together. And then David went to Mizpah of Moab and said unto the king, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold. In other words, don't abide in that cave and down where you're departing. Get into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hayrath. And then if you continue with the story, and then Saul killed the priest of Nob after that, N-O-B, Nob after that. So it wasn't a good time for David. But in the midst of this dark hour that he was going through in his life, now you can turn over to Psalms chapter 34. When David was in that cave of Adullam, when he was in that dark place, when he was before Abimelech, when he changed his behavior, all of these things that I talked to you about tonight, it's believed that that's when he wrote Psalms 34. And we're going to look through this tonight. And this was a dark time in David's life. But when you read this, you would think that David was on the mountaintop. You would think that things couldn't be going better in a person's life for them to pen and to write down some of these things that David said here. In the first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here he was discontented. He was fleeing for his life. And he had nothing but troubled people around him. And he says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so something that we can learn from that. We can learn a lot from this Psalms. No matter the circumstances in your life, you have to choose to bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in your mouth. In the good times and in the bad times, the praises of God to be in your mouth. When it's uncertain what you should do, when you don't have a clear path to walk in, the praises of God should be on your mouth. You're going to bless the Lord at all times, because we say that, and it's easy to believe it when things are going good, but we say it often. God is good. God's good all the time. That's all he knows how to do, is to be good. But when you're going through something hard, it's not so easy. But David said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When you come down the rock bottom, there's nothing else that you can do but magnify the Lord. And he said that in verse 3, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. And perhaps he said that to those 400 men, those misfits that were gathered with him. He might have said, hey, we don't have anything else to do. Let's start to magnify the Lord. Let's start to praise his name. Let's start to exalt his name. And then David went on and said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And we don't read that over in 1 Samuel, but David at that same time was writing this. And so we know from this that he sought the Lord, and he knew that God heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. He had that fear that Saul was after him, and that was a true fear to have. He had the fear that that other king was after him, where he changed his behavior, and that was a true fear. We would be fearful in those situations. But what did David do when he had that fear that was on him? He said, I sought the Lord, and God delivered me from all of my fears. The fear of the unknown. You're in a situation, you don't know if you should turn left, right, go forward, go backward. You know, you try to analyze, did I make a mistake? Am I in this situation because I did something that I shouldn't have done? Amen. We don't have to fear. We seek the Lord in those times, and he'll hear us. He'll deliver you from all your fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And when it says they were lightened, that they were radiant, they looked unto him. And I would like to think that he's talking about those 400 men. I could be totally wrong in this, but just let me go off in my imagination. And they were enlightened because they looked unto David. These discontented, these poor, amen, that we were talking about, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves, everyone that was in distress, but all of a sudden their faces became radiant because they were looking at a man that knew how to worship and praise God. They were looking at a man that knew how to get a hold of God when he needed to get a hold of God, and their faces were radiant. Then David said in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He cried unto the Lord. He didn't have to cry out to God. He could have just thought, woe is me. I'm on, I, I just can't do this anymore. And went and curled up somewhere and stayed hiding the rest of his life. But he knew that wasn't the will of God. So he cried out to God. God heard him. And God saved him out of all of his troubles. God can save you out of all of your troubles. Yes, but I got myself into these troubles. Yes, but God can still help you get yourself out of those troubles. Even if you got yourself into those troubles, that's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. Amen. Don't belittle what God can do to you. Don't belittle the fact that God don't care about me. Don't fall into this. Well, God's just trying to teach me a lesson. And so that's why all this evil is befalling me. Amen. We don't want to accept that kind of thing. David could have thought that, well, this is all happening to me. God, what are you trying to teach me? David wasn't going to accept that what happened. Amen. He prayed unto the Lord. He cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And David learned this. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That's a good thing, that the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. Amen. They honor God and they fear God. That's a good part of it. But this is the better part. And delivereth them. Amen. The Lord encamps around about and he delivers. He brings us out of those trials, those tribulations. Amen. Those hard times that we're facing in life. And then David was so excited in his writing here. Who knows what was going through his mind when he was writing this. And he wanted others to experience what he experienced. And he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Man, you don't have any idea what God did for me. I'm trying to tell you what God did for me. I want you to taste for yourself, and I want you to see that the Lord is good, is what David was saying. And he was saying, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There's nothing better than trusting in God to get you out of the situations and then uncomfortable places that you are in your life. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Amen. When it's talking about fearing the Lord, there is no want, there is no lack to them that fear him. If we fear the Lord, we have an honor and we have a respect for the Lord. And then you're not going to lack anything. There's not going to be any lack in your life to those that fear the Lord. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, shall not want any good thing. When you seek the Lord, you're not going to lack any good thing. God takes good care of his children. God took good care of David. Yes, he was fleeing for his life. Yes, he was acting like a madman. Yes, he lived in a cave for a while, but he didn't lack anything. God was taking care of him. Amen. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, what the fear of the Lord is about, to have great and high respect and honor for him. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking deceit. So he had an opportunity to do that here. When he was down and out, he could have spoke some things that weren't so kind about God. He could have started pointing the finger at God, saying, God, I thought you said I was going to be the next king. And if that's so, why are you letting this happen to me? Have you lifted your spirit from me? Have you changed your mind? Have I done something wrong? Have you chosen somebody else? He didn't speak any guile. He didn't speak bad against God. He didn't put doubt in anybody's heart that this was happening because God was changing his mind. He still trusted in the Lord his God because he knew what God had said unto him. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. Don't go down that evil path. He had decisions to make. He could have been evil. And he says, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. David learned that from experience. We read that and we think, oh, that sounds so wonderful. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But David was able to say that from this dark valley that he was walking through. He knew that the eyes of the Lord were upon him. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. He sees and he knows what's in your heart and in your mind and what you're facing tonight and what you're going to face this week. He knows all about that. Amen. His ears are open unto their cry. Amen. When you cry unto the Lord, his ears are open unto you. I was sharing that a little bit this morning and having that relationship with the Lord, that close relationship with him. Whatever it is, you can talk to God about it. Oh, I like that song, and there might be some parts of it that might not be so right. Amen. Doctrinally, I'm not sure if there is or isn't, but let's just have a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Tell him all about your troubles. You don't have to be afraid that God's going to think evil of you because of the feelings that you have. He already knows what your feelings are. And it says here, and his ears are open unto their cry. Whenever you say, Lord, help me, he's going to help you. We know the ear was open unto the cry of Peter. Whenever Peter walked out on that water and he started to go down, and he looked up and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and he lifted him up. His ears are open to your cry. Even if you're praying, it feels like they're bouncing from this wall back to that wall, and this wall, or to the ceiling and the floor and back and forth, and it's not getting up. That's a lie from the enemy, because his ears are open unto their cry. Amen. He hears the cry of the heart. Amen. That song goes on. He hears the faintest cry. He will answer by and by. That's right in that song. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. So don't let the enemy. We can't go by feelings. Well, I don't feel like my prayers are getting through. You have to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and know that the Word of God says his ears are open unto my cry, and I'm crying unto God now. And we could be like David and think, well, God's not too pleased with me right now. Here I'm supposed to be this mighty warrior for the Lord, and I'm hiding, and I'm running for fear of my life from Saul. Now I'm running for fear of my life from this other king, and now all these misfits are gathered around me. Man, I've really messed up. I don't look like much of a king. He could have felt that way, and he could have thought, God's not going to hear my cry. But David knew that his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Amen. God's going to take care of those that do you wrong. God is going to destroy them. Amen. Their actions are going to destroy themselves. And we know that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We don't have to fight against them, because if God's against them, that's good enough for me. I don't have to hate on anybody. I don't have to speak evil of anybody, because if they're coming against me, and we need to look at it this way, because in reality it really is this way. If they come against me, they're not coming against me, but they're coming against the Lord God of Israel. They're coming against the God that lives on the inside of me. And God doesn't take that lightly. Amen. He will deal with them. The righteous cry, verse 17, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry. Amen. When the righteous cry unto the Lord heareth. So the enemy of my soul and your soul is going to do whatever he can do to us to try to discourage us so that we don't cry unto the Lord. We don't feel worthy. And I've already talked about different things and reasons why we don't do that. But when the righteous cry, the Lord hears them and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. That's the word of God. Amen. And as David wrote this, he was inspired by God to write this, that it was something that he experienced. And so we know that he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered him down. The Lord will deliver them out of all of their troubles. God will deliver you out of all of your troubles. Amen. You need to say that. All of my troubles. Say it. All of my troubles. God will deliver me out of all my troubles. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know my situation, but the Word of God says, and he delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Amen. Anything meant to do evil for you is going to turn into good, because God will deliver you out of all of your troubles. But the thing you have to do is you have to cry unto the Lord. It's not just going to happen because you're a child of God. Somebody comes against you and God's just automatically going to deliver you like a magical thing. It's going to be because when people and things come against you, and the enemy comes against you and fiery darts come against you, you're going to cry unto the Lord, and the Word of God says that he will deliver you out of all of your troubles. Amen. And I don't know what part of all that we don't understand sometimes. Sometimes we don't like to take things to God and just completely leave them with Him and know that He's got this and He's taking care of it. Amen. If you want to pick it up and try to solve it yourself, there's something about God. He'll let you do that. And He'll watch you fall. He'll watch you struggle. He'll watch you stumble. But we need to leave it in the hands of the Lord. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Amen. A crushed in spirit. The Lord's nigh to them that are of a broken heart. And David was saying this from experience. And so I'd like to say the insinuation is the time that he was going through, as I read Samuel, he had a broken heart. He had to leave his best friend Jonathan behind. And then we followed a few of his steps, and I don't know how much time was involved in that. Amen. That we went over tonight. But his heart was broken. He felt neglected. He felt alone. He wasn't with his mother. He wasn't with his father. His brethren had neglected him. It was just him. And there he was all alone. And he said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Amen. He's close to them, and he saved such as be of a contrite spirit. And a contrite spirit is broken in spirit. There are some people that things and situations have happened in their life and their heart is just crushed. They just don't have words to say. They just can't in themselves and of themselves move forward. But even in those situations, amen, the writer here is saying, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. We read that scripture this morning that God's not far from any one of us. Even if your heart's been crushed and broken, God is close by. All we have to do is call out to Him. Call upon Him for help. Amen. Of a crushed spirit, of a broken spirit. And we don't like this part here, but David knew what he was talking about. Number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them. And here we go again. Out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord's going to deliver us out of all of them. We are being afflicted now on the right hand and on the left hand. All the afflictions that are going against us in this society that we're living, because we believe in God. We believe in the Bible. There's a lot of afflictions that are against the children of God, but the Word of God and the promises of God, we will have a lot of afflictions, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. He will help us through every situation, every affliction. And it could be a belief-based things, amen, that I'm referring to that come against us. It could be other things in our life, the afflictions that we have. Those things that just weigh on us, those things that just hold us down. We got to learn to take them to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. David had learned that the afflictions are going to be many, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Amen. Our afflictions, your afflictions are going to be many. Jesus even said, in this world you will have tribulation. You are going to have hard times. But he didn't leave us there, but he says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so it's you and Jesus facing this thing. You're not facing it alone. Amen. We're living in a different dispensation than David was back at that time. Now in the things that we're going through, we have the Holy Ghost within us. It's right there inside of us, and He's going through what we're going through. And God will deliver us if we call upon Him, if we look to Him, if we ask Him. He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Be desolate. They're going to do themselves in. We don't have to worry about it. Evil's going to slay the wicked. God's going to take care of them. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. And so if you trust in God, you won't be condemned. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Amen. So we need to learn to trust in God. We need to look to Him. And David wrote this at a hard time in his life. And sometimes at the hard times in our life, is it easy always to worship and to praise God? Absolutely not. Is it easy always to get down and pray and to read your Bible and to just act like Jesus is your good friend and He's right here beside me and me and Him just talk to each other all the time? That's not easy to do when you're going through hard times. But we know that God is with us. Amen. And we have to trust in him. And then you could go on to the next psalm, and we're not going to do that. And it just keeps on going. And then David, in that Psalms 35, he gives a prayer for rescue from enemies, and I could see why he would do that. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Amen. We got to trust in the Lord our God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. There's a lot in Psalms 34 here, and you could read it over some more this week. But David was going through a hard time in his life when he wrote those. It would be easy to think that everything was going good for somebody that could write something like that. Well, they're just gifted. Amen. But many times things that are written are because people went through hard times. They went through dry times. They didn't know where they were going to turn or what they were going to do, but God was there with them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help us tonight, God. Lord, that we'll turn to you in those hard times, God. We won't turn away from you, God, but we'll turn towards you, God. Lord, you're able to help us. You're there to rescue us. God, you're there to take us in. God, you're there to be a comfort unto us, oh God. Lord, your praise will continually be in our mouth, God. Lord, that you'll hear our cry. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for it tonight, God. We thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us tonight, God, in the situations of life, whatever any of us are going through here tonight, God. Lord, you know every heart here tonight. You know every soul. You hear every cry tonight, God. I pray that you will help. I pray that you will deliver, God. Lord, I pray that you give them the peace down in their heart, in their soul, God. Lord, that in the midst of the storm, that they know everything's going to be okay, God. Lord, speak unto us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.